All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. There was a lot going on that morning at 9 a.m. The sound of a rushing wind coming from nowhere. Tongues of fire. People talking all at once, gathering a curious and confused crowd. People from all over the world in Jerusalem that day for the festival. It's no wonder that this account in the book of Acts isn't really very clear about what's happening. Is each disciple speaking one language, and each listener is able to hear that one speaker of their native language? Or is each listener somehow hearing the whole gathering of disciples speaking in their own native language, and we don't actually know what exactly the disciples are speaking? As with most miracles, though, the details are not what's important. What's important is the big picture. The Holy Spirit has come and is overcoming human division in order to communicate directly to the hearts of each person in the language of their birth. I know that some of you are very, very familiar with the work involved in translation. Some of you spend every day engaged in the work of translation, navigating interactions in a second or third or more language, navigating customs that you maybe still have to think about rather than the ones that come automatically, having to be careful and deliberate about what you do and what you say in order to accomplish what you are trying to accomplish, to be understood in the ways you hope to be understood. Having to listen extra carefully in order to make sure you are understanding what it is you need to understand. And I know that many of you, myself included, have had tastes of that work to greater or lesser extents through vacations, through work postings, through studies in other countries. And it is wonderful work. It is interesting and rewarding and important work. It is also hard work. It is tiring work. And it's never perfect. We know that things slip through the gaps of translation. Subtleties can get missed, miscommunications can happen. Bridging the divide requires bridging a divide. Still, though, the reward of connection is worth the challenge. And so I thank all of you who are sharing your languages with us today, whether they are the languages of your childhood or chosen languages of your adulthood. You are reminding us all of the diversity and the beauty of the gift of language. And you are giving us the privilege of entering into, in a small way, that holy work of translation. On the day of Pentecost, however, the Holy Spirit did all the work for them. Did all the work of translation for them. So eager was God to speak to the astounded crowd gathered in Jerusalem that day. And those are our people, that astounded crowd. We may be accustomed to thinking of ourselves as the gathered disciples, waiting to receive the power from on high and then doing all the talking, but really, our people are those first hearers of the disciples with their good news. For these are the first people drawn into the Jesus movement by someone other than Jesus himself. They are the first second-hand believers. These people are our ancestors in the faith, people whose experience of Jesus is a gift solely of the Spirit and not of geography or history or family connections to that family from Nazareth. And just like that astounded crowd, we reveal both the beautiful diversity and the beautiful unity of God's people. Our service this morning proclaims the good news in 18 languages, spoken or sung. 18 languages, which spring forth from one body with one shared message, empowered by the one Spirit. And I know that that is a fraction of the languages that are in the seats today. And just like that astounded crowd, we are called first to hear and second to speak. A little rich coming from the preacher, I know. At Bible study this week, one wise fellow parishioner, I'm not sure where she's seated, but I know she's here, quoted the great Canadian scholar Marshall McLuhan, reminding us that the medium is the message. On that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was indeed both the medium and the message, the vehicle for the words and a demonstration, an instance of what those words meant. The Holy Spirit came and revealed not simply words and sentences about God, but revealed God, God's self, to the crowd. Called on to explain what was going on, Peter identified the coming of the Spirit on Pentecost as the sign of the fulfillment of God's promises, made through by the prophets generations previous. The promise of union with God and of peace and justice on earth. The church was birthed by the Spirit to be part of that promise, and that is still our most basic purpose. To be shaped by the Spirit into a sign of the fulfillment of God's promise for all creation. For the medium is the message. And we, as the church and as individual followers of Jesus, are called to be shaped into the medium, to not only communicate, but to be God's message to the world, to reach beyond boundaries of cultural and linguistic and generational differences, and become part of the Spirit's holy work of translation. The way we speak, the way we listen, who we are as church in the world, this reveals God and God's promises with greater clarity than all the words and all the languages ever could. And only once we are ready, when we have made room in our prideful hearts and our comfortable communities for other people's languages and other people's experiences, when we have listened carefully to the wisdom and the worries of the world around us, when we have become the medium God needs us to be, then the power from on high will come to us, and the Spirit will give us words of truth that we need to speak so that someone else can hear them in the language of their heart, which has, by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit, become our heart too. One with them, one with Christ, one in the Father.